Yeah, I think we should have a little bit of truth in advertising. When I walked up the stairs, I smelled some nice food going on. That food is actually from the yeshiva, which we are hosting Baruch Hashem. So just like there was we can say truth in advertising. When you came up the stairs, could be there's a little bit of truth in advertising. I have to see what's true and what's not in terms of the introduction over here. I think it's very important that we address today how can we become very successful in our tefillos on Rosh Hashanah. One of the main avodas hayom on Rosh Hashanah is the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah. We spend close to the majority of the day in shul, davening. And, when I was a kid, the answer to the question of how do you make the most out of davening was when I had the tremendous einfall, the tremendous chiddush, when I realized that there's like 700 pages left in davening, and then I realized that if you look in the master, half the pages are in English, and those pages are not said. So that was very good. And then I noticed that there's some piyutim which get skipped, and then I noticed that there's chazos hashatz for Musa for both days. So that really cut it down. But I think really that the more we realize what the mahus of the day of Rosh Hashanah is, and the more we can address on target what needs to get done, the more we can come out successful. We all know that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin. It's a day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us, judges the entire world, in general, in specifics. So really, our tefillah should be addressing the topic. It should be on topic. That's what our tefillah should be. But interestingly, when we look through our tefillahs, it doesn't seem to be what I would have thought the tefillahs would be. I would have thought our tefillahs should be on a day of din. Kodesh Baruch Hu, this is what I want, this is what I need, this is what I need to have a good year, these are my wants and my needs and my requests. Or maybe our tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah should be similar to what we do on Yom Kippur. Maybe our tefillahs should be, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're judging us, this is my defense. I know I did this wrong, and I did this wrong, but here's my excuse and this and that and the other thing. But yet neither of those are what happens in our tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah. We don't daven necessarily for parnasa. We don't daven for health, and we do it in specific small snippets, but not in a general way. We don't even really daven for chaim in a general way. The main focus of our tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah is Yiras Hashem, is Malchus Hashem, is speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is saying that we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the king of the world, coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we want to have Yiras Hashem, that we want the year of Hashem, the Pachetecha, should spread throughout the entire world, and that everybody should know and understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we really basically only speak about Malchus Shemayim. Renos Advachtogel explains it like this. He says that really, we can't really understand, we can't really fathom how the furthest extent of the din which takes place in Rosh Hashanah. It's something which is beyond our comprehension. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a favor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? I'm going to take you on a tour of my palace, and you'll walk into the palace, and that'll be the madrega that we have. We're going to spend 2 days, basically, on a tour in the palace of the Melech. And once when we're there, we have to act obviously as Bnei Malachim. We act as princes, as ministers. And so, we could conceivably compare it to a government which has numerous ministers. And every year there's a convention where all the ministers are called back to the home country, to the home base. And obviously everybody understands that at that time there's going to be new appointments. Some of the ministers are not going to be kept on for the following year. Some of the ministers are going to be upgraded. And instead of dealing with some smaller country, they're going to have more responsibilities. Everybody knows that's what's happening. But nobody talks about it. That's not what anybody talks about. Everybody talks about what the mission is. The mission is furthering the goals of the country. So that's what we're talking about. We talk about furthering the goals and the mission of what we do in this world, which is to be megal, to speak about, and to reveal the mission which HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us here for. to recognize the Malchus. And Rosh Hashanah, it's a time, and this is really a question which many people have dealt with. As we said before, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Adin. We're being judged. And we don't mention anything about Chatayim, we don't mention any of those things. All those things are all relegated past, beyond to Yom Kippur. So again, Rav Nosson Vachvogel says that we should forget, on Rosh Hashanah, we should forget about the past entirely. We should totally forget about what we did in the past. We're starting over fresh. But we also shouldn't think about the future. I'll explain that in a second. Because in a way we should, but in a way we shouldn't. He says we should focus on where we are. Minov Yasher Usham, a person is judged based on the level which he is. There's a minig, which is really brought in Shulchan Aruch as a halacha, that a person who's not necessarily careful with this throughout the entire year, but during the Aser Simei Tshuva should be careful to only eat Pas Yisrael. So only eat Pas Yisrael, not to eat Pas Akum, meaning not to eat bread which was baked by a Goy Shebaker, only eat bread which was baked to have the involvement of a Jewish person. But suddenly will say, this is funny, this is, you know, what am I doing this for? Who am I kidding already? At the whole year I eat foods that are not on this higher level. I do things, and again, Pas Akum or Pas Yisrael is only an example of the things. We're all on the top of our game during Aser Simei Tshuva, as we lead up to Rosh Hashanah. We're all doing things better. We're always trying to put on, we could say we're putting on a show. So who are we kidding? We're putting on a show, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knows what we really are. He knows that, it's not going to last, whatever level. The guy says, I'm going to, be careful not to ever get angry at anybody ever in the entire world, right? Just realistically speaking, that may not happen, right? As nice as it may be. So there's a number of answers to this, right? One answer is, and we can actually explain this, I'm slightly digressing from the field of topic over here, but somebody may wonder, why do you give your children baths? Right? Why do you give your kid a bath? He's just going to get dirty, right? Why do you make your bed, right? Why do you make your bed? He's just going to sleep in it the next night, right? So why do you give your kid a bath? He's just going to get dirty again, right? Wait till the kid gets older, till like 10 or 12 or something, and then he's not going to get dirty anymore, and then give him one big solid bath, and that's it. So obviously one answer is that it's not healthy for the child, it's not good for his self-esteem, it's going to be harder to keep the, it's easier to keep the kid clean if you bathe the kid every day or every so often. But also, the perspective that the kid has is that, I like being clean. It's good. Maybe I'll be clean for another 2 seconds. Or as the kid gets older, that time, goes further and further, and the child is able to keep himself cleaner for longer. So that's what we're teaching ourselves during this man, that, it's nice to be clean, to have these levels. So on here in Rosh Hashanah, we're showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this is where I want to be. And I know the rest of the year I'm involved with all kinds of different things that are not necessarily the most ideal. And at some point I want to be somewhere else. But right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is where I am. Be Asher Husham. The future, let's not deal with that right now. Obviously, it's got to get taken care of. A person has to figure out how to advance those ideas. I mean, thinking about the future in this way, saying a person says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I want to sit down and I want to learn. Or I want to improve my relationship with my family, whatever it may be. Oh, I can't. Right? A person says, this is what a person is saying to himself, I can't do that. Right? I know myself. I know I'm going to get angry. I know I'm going to get frustrated. I'm going to come home hungry and tired from work one day, and I'm just going to explode. And therefore, it's not even worth it working on myself at all. Right? That's the Yetzirah. That's what the Yetzirah is out there to do. And therefore, we have to focus on what's happening right now. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Er Chazal really did by taking the tefillos of the day and focusing them in on what's important and what are the primary ideals and thoughts that a person should have. So I was thinking that how could we make the most out of our tefillos on Rosh Hashanah and really on Yom Kippur as well. So the answer really is preparation. The more preparation we could put into our tefillahs, the more we could prepare, the more we could review the entirety of the tefillahs and basically learn through the sugya that the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Nerayim have, the better we can get an understanding of what we're saying. Obviously, in the short amount of time that we have, we are not able to go through every single paragraph. So I thought that maybe we should go through a number of significant themes or really words. And once we go through those words and themes, we'll be able to recall the information which we learned every time. And just the structure in terms of the Shemoneh Esrei for Rosh Hashanah, specifically in terms of Musaf. Musaf, the Shemoneh Esrei, includes Malchus, Zichanos, and Shofros. Malchus, Zichanos, and Shofros are a series, as the Gemara explains, a series of 10 psukim, which discuss the concepts and the ideas contained within these three themes of Malchus, Zichanos, and Shofros. The theme of Malchus is the kingship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're saying to Hashem, I want you to be my king. I want you to be my God. You are important to me. And the psukim in which we say relate to that. And again, we don't have the time to go through the psukim one by one. The best source to look through one of the best sources to go through the psukim on this is the Sefer Rinas Chaim from Chaim Shmulevitz. It's in the back of the Sipsi Chaim, and it's subsequently been translated recently into English. What? Rav Chaim Friedlander, sorry, Rav Chaim Friedlander. He explains each one of the psukim and how it fits in context with the other one. The next section is that of Zichronos, and we'll explain what the idea of Zikaron means, because it's really enigmatic. It's kind of a strange thing. But the theme of Zichronos is we're saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu that we recognize how important we are to Hashem. We recognize how important we are to you. And Shofros is expressions of the relationship which we have to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The shofar is a kli which sounds basically whenever there's a important interaction between us and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The shofar was there by the Akedah, the shofar was there by Har Sinai, and the shofar will be there by Mashiach. And we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah to show this interaction and the relationship between us and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And one time, just as an aside, on the points of Malchus, Shofros, and Zichronos, which really plays into the rest of the tefillahs as well, we say in our tefillahs many times, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're Rachel. You're compassionate, you're merciful, you have this attribute and that attribute. Shenamar, as it says in the Torah, we go through a whole series of psukim. I don't get it, right? Why are we spending our time proving from psukim what we just stated is fact, right? We're not learning Gemara over here. We don't. It's not a medrash. It's a tefillah. So what's the purpose of saying over the verses, the psukim, that relate to this concept? So I asked one time my Mashiach in Eretz Yisrael, his name was Rabbi Brazil, and he said, these psukim, Chazal understood that, yes, there are many other psukim which also reflect these ideas. Yeah, there's more than 10 psukim out there that talk about Zikaron, that talk about Melech, that talk about Shofros. But these psukim, Chazal understood, these psukim are like the key. Like, and if you need to open up a cave with a rock in front of it, so you have to say the secret code word. If you don't say the secret code word, it's not going to open, the door's not going to open. Right? So these psukim have the ability to unlock Shefa from Shemayim, to unlock Brachin, to unlock various spiritual realms, of which obviously we can't see because they're spiritual, but they have the ability to unlock the ideas of bracha or whatever midah we're expressing within them. Okay, the first thing that I wanted to speak about in terms of Shemoneh Esrei is obvious. I don't know if anybody has the handout, but I guess everyone, most people do. The word the concept of avos. Avos is the first section of Shemoneh Esrei, and it's basically the same of which we say every day, three times a day. But yet we should remember that we shouldn't forget that this is almost the most important part of Shemoneh Esrei. Well, why is avos the most important part of Shemoneh Esrei? And perhaps one of the reasons that I saw is that we need to imagine ourselves the avos, who the avos were, how they dealt with their lives, what challenges they had in their lives, and to imagine what they were, and to talk about how, or to think really over how could we become what they were, which is really the words of the Medrash of Masai Yagia Maisai, when will my actions reach to that of the avos Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. So the question, and some say that you shouldn't even think, or you don't have to think of how exactly am I going to become exactly like Avraham Avinu? Because it's all you'll reach an impossibility. You'll say, I can't be Avraham Avinu. But yet a person will say, or should say, how can I reach my potential as Avraham did? In the relation to the midah of chesed, which Avraham epitomized, to the midah of gevura, of strength. How can I do that? How can I show chesed to other people? How can I show strength? How can I bring out the different midos of the different avos? And to really think through. Some say that you don't even need to do that. You don't even need to think or to do the application of how am I going to do this. Just thinking about the avos, picturing Avraham Avinu walking with Yitzchak to the Akedah and the challenges that they had to go through. Just picturing those things affects you and affects your mindset in a positive way. The next word really that I wanted to talk about is the word Atah. The word Atah. This is even in relation to the weekday Shemon Esrei. What word is the most commonly found in the weekday Shemon Esrei? Right, so I thought that the answer is Baruch. The answer really is Atah. And the word Atah means you. And just this one idea can change the entirety of Shemon Esrei. If we would think every time we say the word Atah, right, only the word Atah in our Shemon Esrei, you, Baruch Atah, right, Atah Choning, Atah, right, every time we say the word Atah, that we are standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we're speaking directly to Kodesh Baruch Hu, because that's what's happening when we're doing when we're saying Shemon Esrei. If we could think that, right, our entirety of our Shemon Esrei would be different. Now, of course, it's hard to, you know, to be focused at all times. But on Yom Yerushalayim, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, obviously everything is much easier. So this idea of Atah, of speaking directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is something which we can use to help improve and to enhance our tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The next point is Zikaron, is remembrance. Atah Zocher Ma'aseh Olam, you remember. Zachreinu L'chaim, remember us for life. The Zichronos, the 10th Sukkim of Zikaron, leads us to a great question of what is Zikaron? Zikaron means memory. Atah Zocher, you remember. Right, remember us for life. Right, who are we talking about over here? We're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything, contains everything, never changes, never forgets. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu never forgets, what are we asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember? Right? You don't forget. What does it mean to remember? So it's really, I had this question to be very difficult. So some explain that the Zikaron in relation to people means remembering, because people are subject to forgetting. Now when we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zikaron doesn't mean to remember, it means to do. And Atah Zocher, you remember, and you bring that remembrance into an action. Right? Remember us for life means keep us alive. That's what it means, remember us by Kodesh Baruch Hu. My Rebbe Zev Lef explained this in a different way. He said, what does it mean to remember? So he said, well, there's two meanings to the word Zocher, to remember. Remember means you forget. So therefore, your wife makes you a shopping list, and you write it over twice, and you keep it in both pockets, because you'll forget it, and you'll think that you left the list at home. Right? So you have the list, because you don't want to forget. The other thing, the other type of remembrance, is like this. You're talking to your friend, and you say something. He says, what was that again? I wasn't paying attention. You say, don't worry, forget about it. It wasn't important. Forget about it, right, is something which you could conceivably say by Kodesh Baruch Hu. You could say to Kodesh Baruch Hu, forget about this thing, right? Or imagine as if this thing didn't happen. So when we're talking about ourselves, and we're talking about Chaim, we're talking about life, we say, Kodesh Baruch Hu, don't, quote-unquote, forget about us. Remember us, Zachreinu L'chaim, right? Focus on us, and show that we're important, and bring us back in the primary, which is, again, is really the same thing, because, again, and everything remains equal in terms of in terms of Kodesh Baruch Hu, in terms of remembering. So the Zechira by Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing. The next thing that we mention a lot on Rosh Hashanah, really through Aseret Metshuva and Yom Kippur as well, is Chaim, is life. Zechreinu L'chaim, remember us for life. So what are we asking Kodesh Baruch Hu for when we say remember us for life? So simply it means, life means the fact that oxygen is flowing through our blood and is getting to our head, and we're alive, right? Just being alive, whether nothing more you could do with it, is a tremendous bracha from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? And we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, keep us alive. We want to be alive for another year. But there's really more than that. Right? We want a life of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want a life where we can do things for other people, where we can have success, where we have all of those things necessary to be the avadim, each person serving Hashem in the right way. And for some people, having life may include various luxuries, each person depending on what he has. Right? And those luxuries for each person may be deemed necessities, and that's all included in the broad life, because those things help us be alive. Right? The Gemara says that a dir enah is a nice house, a nice place to live, is expands the mind of a person. Right? So that's really almost at some point in time a necessity. Right? You know, going outside and getting air, it's a necessity, but not for everybody. Some people don't need that. Some people can live in a small place and can subsist with what other people would consider to be necessities. And that's, you know, those are all things included in in chayim. But we don't have to necessarily think of those specific things that we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. All we can say is Zachreinu L'chaim L'mancha Elokim Chaim, because our goal in Chaim, our goal in having all of these different things that we may want to, starting with the fact that we're alive and we're healthy and going on from that step after step, is all L'mancha, is all for you, Hashem. Right? L'man Elokim Chaim. The next Just quickly, we'll focus on this. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we mention Uvechein Tein Pachtecha. Uvechein Tein Pachtecha is where we really began the real change into the tefillas of Rosh Hashanah and of Yom Kippur. And Uvechein Tein Pachtecha is our request that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow us and to give us the pacha, the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So usually the term fear has negative connotations. We think, oh, I'm afraid of the big bad, whatever it may be. But really, a pachtecha or yiras Hashem is a tremendous tool which we can use to become successful in our life. Because the more yiras Hashem we have, right, the more of a connection and relationship we can have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the more we can use those feelings to get us to where we need to go in terms of life. Just the last point over here, just due to time constraints over here, is the idea of a melech. And the Gra, there's a well-known Gra, the Gra talks about the difference between a melech and a moshel. A melech is a king, and a moshel is a ruler. Ki l'ashem ha-melucha u-moshel v'agoyim. That's one of the psukim which we say. Ta-Hashem is melech. What's a melech and what's a king? Right? A king is someone... A real king is somebody who is not out in it for himself. He doesn't rule by force. Somebody that rules by force is a moshel. He could have the title king. He could be called king, but he's not really a king. The purpose, there's three goals or purposes of a king. The king gives advice. That's actually called hamlacha, to be moli. He judges, he provides parnasa, he provides for the economy of the people for which he rules. The melech provides unity. The melech is a unifying factor and a unifying force, and he promotes and brings about that unity which there is in the world. And the melech is there to create, to protect the people, to fight the wars, and to do all those things. All of these are what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us in terms of the melech. And on Rosh Hashanah, we're accepting on HaKadosh Baruch Hu his malchus. We're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the one who protects us. You're the only one that protects us. You have our good, you know, you have us in mind. You're the one that provides for us in the terms of the economy, in terms of our well-being, in terms of our parnasa, and you really give advice to us. And you're the unifying factor for Klal Yisrael. Just wanted to end with a medrash in Tehillim that speaks about the importance of the tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah. And really the tefillahs on Yom Kippur. The medrash is going on Kapitel Kuf Beis in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim says, Pana al tefillahs ha'aret. That we should turn to the prayer, to the tefillahs of the Ara, the devastated one. So what is this? So the Medrash gives a number of different examples, and it says, "Amar of Yitzchak klapei doros amru." This is said concerning the doros, the generations. Shein lehem lo navi v'lo kohen. We no longer have a navi. We don't have a kohen. We don't even have a beis hamikdash shechaper aleihem. Ela od tefila achas nishtayer lehem. We have a tefila which remains for us. Shame we spalim b'Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippur. Those are the tefillas which we daven on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Lo tevaza osam yam. We're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu not to be mevaza from them. From this medrash we can see that the tefillas of Rosh Hashanah, the tefillas of Yom Kippur, are so exalted, are so raised up, that they could in some way replace for us Kohen the Navi and the Beis Hamikdash. So Yirtzeh Hashem, with our renewed focus on the tefillas of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we'll be able to come into a success for the coming year, and we'll be zochet to see Beis Goel Tzedek from here. Amen.